Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to Imperfect Momming, and we have a very special guest today, Lisa Autry. Welcome to Imperfect Momming.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So you are somebody I know in real life. I've seen you face to face. We ran into each other at the Bible store. Very cool. And so tell us just a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So my name is Lisa Autry. I'm founder and CEO of The Daughter Diaries, Inc., which it's moments and memoirs of a mom who is becoming their best self and on their entrepreneurial journey. And that kind of, I wrote the foreword. I was graced with the ability to write the foreword for Alicia's book last year. And after my mom read it, she's like, oh, now it's your turn to write your book. And that really kind of spiraled into this whole thing, this whole journey of publishing my first book, which actually came out the week of the 15th, November 15th. And it's now live and it's called The Real Mom's Playbook. So now I'm officially an author, which is exciting.
Isn't it?
It's kind of a cool thing to add to your, you know, repertoire, right?
Right. Well, and you're one of those people that have been writing for a long time, right? Like you kind of grew up writing, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So I published a couple of times for creative work when I was, I think, 10 and then 15. And then I went in the whole business route, went to business school, ditched the idea of writing. And then when Ava was born 5 years ago, I was like, I want to start a blog. A mom, you know, mom blog was the thing. And so I started a mom blog called The Daughter Diaries. And then that turned into a corporation that helped moms start their own businesses. And I found my love for writing again. You know, it was like, it was pulling something out of who I'd been in childhood that I was rediscovering myself. And so, and now I have 3 other books in the works. So now I'm like, now I'm unstoppable now. And I know you have several in the works too. It's like, once you open that can of worms, you cannot close it.
Right. Yeah. It's funny because I think I've talked about this on the podcast. Now all my episodes kind of bleed together and I don't remember who I've told what and when and where. And, but I spent
and motherhood,
right. And business like full time. So, you know, women have this role. This is my next blog. I think women have this role of, you know, we have, motherhood is a full-time job and having a business is 3 full-time jobs and being a spouse or a significant other is a full-time job. And so, and then, you know, not losing ourselves inside all of that kind of is a full-time job. Like we have 52 full-time jobs. And we wonder why we're overwhelmed and exhausted and have burnout and all of that. Like it's, and so I feel like that's what your book is about. If I remember correctly, that it's about finding who you are or remembering who you are if you've forgotten, right?
Yep. So I lost myself when I became a mother and through my research, we're an average of anywhere between 7 to 9 people a day, 7 to 9 different, unique people in different roles every single day. That's a heavy burden. And when everything shut down last year, I started just interviewing moms. I started doing free coaching and I kept seeing this trend whether these women were just moms or not, you know, sometimes they weren't even mothers, but we were all dealing with the same kind of chaos. And it's like, man, if we can settle that root foundation of the chaos, imagine what we can step into, because the burden of all the people we have to be really weighs us down consistently. And I started looking, I was like, well, I did this and I did that. And I started putting the pieces together. And then I also have a membership community called Mama's Unstoppable Tribe. And I started testing these different things out with those ladies. I'm like, hey, what, you know, if you're struggling, do it this way, do it that way. And it started putting what I call an intentional transformation into place. And it's kind of magical, elevating yourself through the three pillars of success: home, routine, finances. And really, we're elevating our mind, our body, and our soul in order to be who we're meant to be. I always tell people, you can't change the world until you work on your head, your heart, and your home. Mm-hmm. And that's what we cover within the whole playbook. There's a lot of different chapters. We call them plays because it's your guide. I call it my little black book of secrets to success. And that's why it's a black book. And there's places to brain dump. I made sure I made a lot of areas for you to actually write and go through your intentional transformation, because in order to see success, we have to have that inner dialogue. We have to rediscover who we are. Like, I picked up writing a couple of years ago and I was like, I forgot I love to do this. So many mothers in motherhood and beyond, we forget who we are. We forget ourselves, and we just let the weight of our to-dos cripple us. And it's just so hard, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. I've always kind of resisted doing the journaling part of writing. Like, I've always, I don't know where this fear came from specifically, but I had this, like, I have to be perfect idea. And one of the books that I read when I first started therapy was, I think it's called Why You Do the Things You Do, but it was basically it was written for pastors' kids and missionary kids. And it basically says, well, your parent is a pastor or missionary, and you feel like your actions reflect on your, in my case, my dad's job. And so you don't want, either you're straight up told, or you decide yourself that my actions are a reflection on them. And so you have to be perfect so that you don't make them lose their job. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any recollection of being told, but I did get this impression that I need to be a certain way and act a certain way. And so writing my thoughts down, like, my thoughts were the worst part of me, because I controlled my behavior and I couldn't control my thoughts. And I have awful thoughts, you know? And so I was just terrified that the things that I would write down would become public knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so I actually, now I kind of remember that I had pinpointed this thought of where I didn't want, like, I used to journal online, because online, not only is it not my name, but there's millions of people online. How could I be found out, right? Yeah. And I remember I was journaling about, I was going through my first divorce, and someone made a comment that, well, maybe you shouldn't have gotten married within 6 months of meeting someone. And the tone of it sounded like my ex-husband. And so I got all paranoid that it was him. And I stopped. That was the last time I did any kind of journaling. For years.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've been divorced from him for like 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that boggles my mind that that's a thing, like, that I could have done anything 15 years ago. I was watching.
Even I was around then, because, you know, 30 years ago was like 1970. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah. I was watching Lois and Clark, and that was released in the 90s. And they had Nazi sympathizers on the show, or they were like trying to create the Fourth Reich. Yeah. And they kept talking about 50 years ago, 50 years ago. And I was like, 90s, that was 80 years ago now, World War II. What? That's crazy.
It is. Anyway. It is. No, on your point on journaling, so it's hard for most of my clients. I have about 50 clients now. And when I'm like, yeah, I want you to start writing down your thoughts, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I'm not going to keep a diary, blah, 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 blah. You know, all that stuff. Because yes, once we put our words that are in our head on paper, it becomes that much more real. We become much more vulnerable, right? What I've worked a way around this, because when you're given a task, it's a lot easier to fulfill the task. Well, in the book, it says I have to write this letter to myself. And I even give you a templated letter, because you have to reconcile what's going on in your mind and heart in order to be able to move forward. So the letter that you start out with, you can literally copy it word for word. It's dear me. And it's getting you to have that inner dialogue with yourself, so you could be more comfortable pulling out that vulnerability. And I literally have like question and you fill out the answer, because when you're given it versus I'm going to sit down with this blank piece of paper and just spew out my thoughts. And there is places in the back to what I call brain dump notes, reflection. So if you're someone who loves journaling, definitely go all in. But if you're someone like Alicia, who's like recovering, you know, journaling, and especially the whole diary mentality, if it kind of is like, ooh, it feels weird, because it does, having that inner dialogue is awkward. And I, even myself, you know, I've been writing for several years now, and just sitting down and saying, okay, what do I want to talk about? I have some of my clients like pull out a quote and really discuss what that means to you. Start practicing the intention. And so that's what we do in the book, is we practice the intention. We say, okay, here's a letter you're going to write to yourself. Literally just copy it. Think about what this means, what these words mean. In the next play, you're discovering who you are, what your value systems are. So you're taking a test to figure out your value system, and then you can write it down and expand on what those mean to you. So it's not a blank paper with your, you know, whatever thoughts, especially if you are, if you struggle being true to your thoughts, and just starting that whole process again, right? It's kind of, it feels weird. It feels like you're, you know, 8 years old, pulling out your first Winnie the Pooh diary that I had Tigger on it, and putting the key in the lock and opening it and saying, okay, what crazy things is this 8-year-old going to say? Like, dear diary, you know, this is when you're an adult, the things you process are different and the way you feel is different. And so that's what I really tried in the Real Moms Playbook. I tried to attack is for the person who doesn't feel comfortable, you know, writing out their thoughts. I'm going to give you a direction. You're going to literally write about this, and that's going to help with your expansion. And then that's why at the back, I have lots of notes for reflection, lots of line pages, so you can continue that. And start in the play, Starve Your Demons, Feel Your Fire. You're going to be doing activated affirmations. And we know the power of affirmations. I know Alicia's talked about it. And this is, we're activating them. You're going to take an action. And then on reflection, you're going to say, what did that mean to me by doing X, Y, Z? And sometimes this is just like a 90-second activity, but really connecting with that inner dialogue is huge. And so, yes, I was like, I know how many of my clients detest journaling or detest just like, oh, the thought of just sitting down and writing, that's just weird to me. And so like, I try to give direction with it. So it's like, then they feel like they're accomplishing a task versus opening a can of worms, right?
Yeah. And that's really interesting too, because the way that I write my blogs and even the way that these podcasts are positioned, you know, once it's answering a question.
Yeah.
So the title of the podcast is a question, and the question is answered in the podcast. And the same is true of the blogs. Answering questions is a lot, like your brain can't not answer a question. Yeah. I think a lot of the problem is that the questions that we usually ask ourselves is not helpful, because we usually ask ourselves stuff like, why am I so stupid? Or why did I do that stupid thing? So the answer is going to be some form of all the reasons that you're stupid. Mm-hmm. And that's not helpful, you know, but if you ask yourself, like, what could I do differently in the future? Your brain is going to be like, oh, well, we did this and we didn't like the outcome of that, so let's do X, Y, Z. Yep. And, you know, I started journaling in August of this year, and I'm never super consistent with everything, but I was fairly consistent for the last couple of months. I got COVID in October and had just major brain fog where, like, my brain, I just couldn't think. It was, everything was super foggy. And then at the beginning of November, which is what we're in now, I got some news that's very emotionally disruptive to me. And so I went back into those old patterns of, I don't want to think, I don't want to look at my thoughts. I don't want to be aware of my thoughts. And so this morning I realized that because I sat down to do some journaling, because I had some accountability inside of that, which I love your group for that accountability. Because I know that that's something that you guys, that your community has created.
Yep.
And having accountability is always going to get you to do stuff that you're going to resist without it. So yeah, this morning I realized that I've made two journal entries today's and the very first of the month. And that's, to me, it's fascinating now. It's not a reason to beat myself up. I know exactly why I was avoiding it.
Yeah.
You know? And so now that I'm aware, I might be able to process those emotions a little bit more easily.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's hard. It's uncomfortable, you know? But you realizing that you needed to now was huge. It was like, oh, this, I'm feeling this. I'm having this strain. I'm having this struggle. I need to talk about it. And sometimes, and many of us women, this is what I talk about all the time in all of my communities. Half the time we're not heard and we're not validated. Where's the place we can do that? In a private journal. That's where it starts. I mean, definitely you can get into my Mama's Unstoppable tribe and I will be like, hey, I know you got this going on. How are you doing? But at the same time, it's having that communication with yourself. It brings up a whole new, I would not be where I am today with my businesses if I wouldn't have worked through my emotional struggles. And we all have them. I don't care what walk of life you come from. We all have emotional struggles. It's all the push and pull of fear, of overwhelm, of chaos. You know, chaos is difficult. It's challenging. But then when you reframe your idea of criticism versus opportunity, and you look at, okay, this is an opportunity for me to work through a situation that would otherwise cripple me, you're going to step into a whole new level. Whether you are a consistent stay-at-home mom and you are just raising the next generation, whether you're heading out into the workforce and carving your path for your career, whatever that looks like, we have to reconcile that. We have to talk through it. We have to think about, what direction am I heading? And is this the direction I want to continue on? Or do I want to do other things in my life? You know, the opportunity versus, like Alicia was saying, the criticism. Like, if you say, why am I so stupid? Why did I do that? Of course, you're going to think of all the ways you're less than versus how can I move through an obstacle in order to make better choices or maybe a better outcome in the future. Sometimes what happens to us happens to us. We have no way to change it, but how we reflect on it and the choices we make in the future are on us. And so that's really, you know, people are like, you have to write in the book. And I'm like, well, you don't have to, but you're going to get more out. My book is very action oriented. The Real Moms Playbook is very action oriented, and it's getting you to step into your true potential. It's elevating your mind, body, and soul. And it's beginning of your intentional transformation. And yeah, sometimes it starts with writing a letter to yourself and saying, hey, me, let's have a talk.
Yeah. There's one of the coaching tools that I use is called the Total Truth Letter. And there's six emotions, which I can never remember, but anger is at the top and love is at the bottom.
And so the wrong thing you see at the bottom.
Well, so the reason is that there's the layers of emotions. If you think of them like blankets, They're blankets of protection. And so anger is at the top, but if you're feeling angry about something, you have this, and love underneath it too.
Yeah.
So it's not that love is the least important. It's not ranking from top to bottom. It's this is what we're feeling on the surface. Mm-hmm. And it comes out in anger. And then there's the next one. I never remember them all, but I do have my book right here. You know, I love that your book is action oriented. Because you are action oriented. So when you said that,
I hate doing something just to do something, right? And I'm like, mm-hmm. when I was putting, Alicia was like, let's write a book and everything. And so I wrote the foreword for her. And then my mom's like, now you need to write your own book. And I was like, yeah. And then I sat down and I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I have to come up with an outline. If I can complete the outline, then we'll talk on content. And when I was sitting down and writing the things, I was like, oh my gosh, this is literally the intentional transformation I take my clients through. So if someone, instead of paying $10,000 to work with me, they literally pick up a $15.97 or $23.97 book and read it and go through it themselves, because I give you all the steps to be successful. And then there's extra resources like Alicia's resources in the back. We have Megan Kirby, who is a marriage coach. I have access to my tribe. Like if you're like, oh, I want community support, whatever that looks like, there's resources in the back, but you could typically take everything in the book, apply it to your life and see success almost rather instantly. And that's what I want people to not be commiserate and, you know, oh, my life. But then it's also nice to say, okay, oh, my life. Okay, now I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go work on controlling the chaos. Cause I guarantee you guys, if you mitigate at the foundation, take the root foundation of your chaos and you learn how to mitigate it by putting these plays into place, you're going to find it's like 85% successful. And that 15%, that's what we strive for in the book, 15% chaos. Cause life is life. You're not going to, in anyone that needs you, there will be an element of chaos in it. That's just the way it happens, you know?
Absolutely. And the hardest thing for people to do is to look in the mirror. Like it's to really look at yourself and focus on you.
Yeah.
And that's not natural. Like you have two girls. I bet they love staring at themselves in the mirror. They love talking to themselves. And they love, so we're not born with this self-hatred. And so if you're trying to motivate yourself to do anything through the lens of self-hatred, it's not going to be impossible, but you're not going to enjoy the journey.
No. And it's all about enjoying the journey.
What's that?
It's all about enjoying the journey.
And it's all about the journey. Like there is nothing else in life. Like, yeah, we hit these milestones, but there's always more milestones to hit. And so the journey is the process and the journey is life.
Yep.
So the emotions, I had to look it up because I can't leave y'all hanging like that, but it's so at the bottom underneath it all is love. And above that is desire. And those are the two that we're born with. We're born with wanting things and loving things.
Yeah.
And everything else is protection. So above that is regret and fear and pain and then anger.
There's so, a lot of negative things as a shield.
I know, right? But they're all a form of self-protection.
Yeah.
And what?
Oh, no, I said that makes sense.
Oh yeah. It's all self-protection. And what do we protect? We protect things that we love. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all of the people out in the world who just vomit anger all over everybody else, we pay because we're taught through observation to play hot potato with our emotions. Mm-hmm. And so I feel angry. I don't want to feel angry. So I'm going to cut you off in traffic. You cut me off. I'm going to cut you off right back. I'm going to scream at you. Like, I notice when I'm more irritated, I honk way more when I'm in the car, you know? Yeah. People are not more aggressive when I'm angry. I'm just more irritated that they're doing it. And I want to police you more.
Yep. Yep, it's true. It's so true. That makes sense. And the shield is what's protecting the love underneath, mm-hmm. the love and compassion and desire that we feel, right? That makes total sense.
Because
it just sounds bad love at the bottom, right? I guess it's closest to our heart, right? I guess right. That's why we can look at it.
Yes, there's the layers and then it's the closest. And like, so I remember one time somebody cut me off and it irritated me. Because my son was in the car. Mm-hmm. And when I'm alone, I care about my car. Like I know that I assume that I'm going to be fine if I get into a car accident, but I care about my car. I don't want my car to get scratched up and dented up and the expense that goes along with that, because my priorities are providing for my son and not having to fix my car. But I also love my car. And so it's like, if I have to choose for, you know, money reasons that I, you know, whether I fix the car or feed my kid or pay rent, I'm going to feed my kid and pay rent, but I also love the car. You know what I mean? It's like, so there's this protection of like, I'm protecting my son and I'm protecting my car and I'm protecting myself. And that's where the anger comes from. You know, because of the priorities. And you mentioned that earlier too, that like everything we do is priority driven. We're just not aware of them.
Yeah.
Until we get books like you or hire coaches like me. And, you know, like until we get somebody to make us do that,
yep.
Which when I was a client and my coach said, I want to do your priorities the next time we talk, I avoided that. Call like I was like, what can I talk about that's not priorities? You know, like I was like coming, I was making stuff up because I did not want to go through my priorities with this coach because I was afraid she was going to judge the things that were important to me.
Yeah. And that's a huge thing with all of my clients. So in order to start any of my programs, this seems weird, right? I have Kick the Clutter, Routine Queen, Fit with Finances, Elevate Your Energy, Mama's Unstoppable Tribe. And any other communities I introduce, the first thing everyone has to do is take their value system. What are your top five? And I had someone ask one time, why is this important? I'm like, because if everything is important, nothing is important. So you're going to find out where you should be putting your time and energy, and everything else is either insignificant, obsolete, or put on the back burner. And I get this question all the time. Well, what if my values change? Yeah, they will change as we as women change through the phases of life. Education is now one of my top five values because I'm homeschooling and higher education is always important to me. But I had travel up there, you know, when I was newly married and we're going to all these places, like travel was a value for me. And now it's number six. It's like the thought of travel and everything with two young children is exhausting now, but it's still important. So values will change. But ladies, if everything is important, nothing is. So getting to the root, and no, none of us like to talk. And health is number one for me, and family is number two. And people are like, health is before family. I'm like, yeah, because if I don't take care of me, I can't be the mother and the wife that I need to be. So yeah, you feel like you're going to get judged. You feel like, well, this isn't important to them, so it shouldn't be important to me. No, that's unique to you, you know?
Yeah, that was probably one of my biggest like ahas when doing the values exercise. I do it about every 6 months.
Yep.
The way that we do it is we write down, you know, everything that's important to you. Like somebody's asking you what's important to you. what's important to you, what's important to you. It's really annoying. But then you write down, what's up?
I was gonna say, it's true. It is like, stop, just stop hammering on it.
And then we say, well, what's more important to you, this or this? And you go through the list. And so for a long time, you know, my son was number one. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even make the list.
Yep.
And there, and then I remember hearing somebody at this event where I go to do this. I remember hearing somebody have themselves at the top, and I was like, I'm not even on the list. I want to be on the list. And the next time, not only did I make it to the list, but I was on the top of the list. And that was after I had let go of the guilt that I had been holding on to for so long.
Yep.
And I was like, that guilt was even preventing me from taking care of myself. Like, I had to say to the world, my son is the most important thing to me. And then when I let go of the guilt, which he is, like, he's the most important thing to me, I would sacrifice myself for him if the choice was required. But most of the time, we're not talking about that. We're talking about whatever. I don't know. I'm talking in circles here. But I lumped him in with family then. And when I was able to lump him into family, then family was number two, but I was number one. Mm-hmm. And being with them and connecting with them and helping them, like, that's my core value, but I'm in there too now.
Yeah.
You know, and acknowledging me and creating habits around what's important to me and taking care of me, mm-hmm, was able to, like, make the to-do list even, you know, going for a walk every single day is now on my to-do list, or it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a couple of questions that I ask everybody that I didn't forewarn you.
Okay. Sure. Hot seat. I love it.
You're welcome. Is there a piece of advice that you want to give to moms?
Be open-minded about your journey, because so many of us close our minds to opportunities, to potential. Just even having a calm and controlled environment is going to lead to a successful life and a fulfilled life. So be open-minded about opportunities, from even just picking up a book, like Good Moms Don't, like the Real Moms Playbook, that can get you to think a little bit differently, to tidying your home and putting in systems in place to keep it tidy. Little things like that are going to be the trajectory of sending your kids out into the world and who you become thereafter. So many of us don't think, you know, Alicia was just saying, I wasn't even on the list. It's like, but then in her book, in Good Moms Don't, we talk about, oh, you feel guilty to do anything for yourself. We feel guilt to do anything for ourselves. Putting me number one on the value list, like, oh my gosh, major guilt. But once we see, and once we open up our mind to, if we take care of ourselves for, you know, 15, 20 minutes a day, going for a walk, taking a bath, picking up a book and reading, imagine what that's going to do for your children. Imagine what that's going to do for your marriage or your relationship. Imagine all the people you're going to be able to be because of that. So having an open mind and not closing the door saying, this is too hard, I can't do this, she's telling me to journal, what is she doing? I don't want to journal. Things like that. Keep an open mind, say, well, what's going to come of this? And embracing that journey. That's what the whole intentional transformation is about. It's being open-minded to creating your perfect path. And we're not seeking perfection. We're seeking that calm and that clarity. 85-15, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I love that so much. Like, that's, I don't think I've heard that from anyone yet, to be open-minded. because when we're closed-minded, we're closed off to all other ways of doing things. And unless you're 100% happy with your life, you're not going to be open to new ways of doing things. And I 100% in certain areas, when it comes to new things, I'm like, nope, I don't want to do it. And then when I do it, it's the greatest thing that ever existed. And I'm so mad at myself that I didn't do it
early. Right? We do that all the time to ourselves because new things are scary. New things are really scary. 2020 opened up the ability for me to take risks. That my mantra of last year of 2020 was scare myself daily. And I still I'm almost done with 2021 and I still haven't stopped scaring myself. Once you get the taste of it, you kind of crave it, but that you have to be open-minded and that's where it begins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other question is what book has been exceptionally transformational for you in your personal development journey? I know you've read a million books. This is why I usually warn people.
This is a two-parter. So my part one is my mental state, and that is The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. That really reshaped how I was going to look at my whole day, how I was going to connect with my mind, body, and soul. So that's part one. Part two is an action-oriented book called The Power of When by Michael Breas. This is why I teach chronotypes, because if you fall in alignment with the natural ebb and flow of your energy, also known as your biotime or your chronotype, you're going to be so much more productive in order to handle more or even less. Honestly, like I tell my clients, I don't want you doing more than 6 things a day. And they're like, what? My list for today is 36 items. I'm like, yeah, cut 30 off, because this is where you need to start prioritizing. And I talk about this. It's called The Power of Six Method in my book that I created from various research. But when I was looking at Michael Breas's book, I was like, oh my gosh, if I fall in alignment with my chronotype, and there's four, there's the dolphin, lion, wolf, and bear. Once you find out your genetic makeup and you just tweak your life to doing things in your ideal times, I get things done like 25% faster now. So then I can go lay on the couch and read. So I take naps, guys. I run 3 businesses out of my home and I homeschool, and I take daily naps, because it's built into my life, right?
That's awesome.
So I believe in the nap, okay? And so if you're someone who's struggling, I highly recommend Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod, because you're going to reshape your mental state, and The Power of When by Michael Breas, because it's going to, this is the power of when you should be doing things. And then don't forget to pick up The Real Mom's Playbook, because I talk about both.
For sure. I will be getting that. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Well, I just thank you for being on the podcast. When I started the podcast, I made a list of who I wanted on here, and you were the first. And because you run 3 businesses and homeschool your kids, and it was not until you started a TV show or a TV segment, which I was like, well, I want to be on that, and you need to be on the podcast.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Just, you know, share it both ways. I love it.
Yeah. So thank you for being here and pouring into our listeners. And, you know, I let everybody know, the best place to find you.
I would always start at thedaughterdiary.com. That's how you can access my free community, Millionaire Mamas Club. You can go buy the book. You can join any of my programs. That's where you can find Mama's Unstoppable Tribe. So that's the best place to start, is my website, thedaughterdiary.com. You can find my handles at The Daughter Diaries on Instagram and Facebook and everything. But that's the place to start if you want to see all of my insanity in one place.
It's good insanity. It's good. Well,
thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm glad you were here, and I've heard several nuggets to share, and And I'm excited to for your episode.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. And can't wait to have you back on the TV show too. We're going to have to do another segment.
Yes. I know. We have 15 minutes is not enough.
No. That's what I was telling the producer. I was like, I'm going to need about another 20 next time because Alicia and I can talk and we throw out so much value together.
Absolutely. Eventually we'll be co-writing a book whenever that happens, but
next year. Yeah. We need to make it happen next year. We need to put the, you know, we already have initial things drafted and then life just happened. And so we need to get back to it because I'm ready. I'm ready.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll have another episode of Imperfect Mommying next week. And until then, keep healing. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Mommying. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids, do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alishalyons.com. That's alishalyons.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.